Well, take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to read verses 11 through 22 today. And we're just going to focus on these last six sermons on specific prayers and the example of prayer, okay? And so I guess maybe this will be like a six-part message on the examples of prayer. Because our Bibles are filled with examples of prayer. Okay, people that actually prayed prayers. And by the way, those are recorded for our edification, for our benefit. And so here is a prayer, and here's an example of prayer that we're going to focus on today. 2 Chronicles 7, I'll begin in verse 11 by myself. Join me out loud on the even verses as we go through verse 22. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that came all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place. For I have chosen, sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword amongst all the nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, Why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, Because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. We're looking at some examples, and I want you to go back to chapter 7, verse 1. And I want you to understand that Solomon prayed, and he prayed a lengthy prayer. It's contained in chapter 6. All right? You say, why aren't we looking at that? Well, I'd rather know what God thinks about the prayer that Solomon prayed rather than what Solomon actually prayed. Because God gives us an example and tells us about it. But if you look back at chapter 7, verse 1, it says, Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. How about that for an answer? Okay? Great answer to prayer, okay? Now, if you go back to chapter 6, just keep flipping back. Look at verse 26 here. All right? Solomon mentions this. He says, When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. So He mentions this, right? So this is mentioned in the prayer. God, after the finishing of... Now let's go back to our text in chapter 7. So in verse 11 says, Solomon finished the house, right? And the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and his own house, he prosperously effected. Okay, so now we have verse 12. The Lord appears to Solomon. All right? Now, by the way, isn't this a great thing? When we pray, we actually get to be in the presence of God. So the Lord appears to Solomon by night, and he says unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Now, if you'll remember what we just read in chapter 6, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So he says he's repeating what Solomon said in a nutshell. He says, if I choose to do these things, by the way, God is completely just to do all of those things. Okay? Because man's sin is to be punished, to be judged. That's exactly what needs to happen. But then he gives us some keys here in verse 14 because it helps us to understand that prayer is important. If my people, which are called by my name... And so he says, look, these circumstances may happen, the negative things, disease, pestilence, etc. And by the way, I expanded this thought. On Wednesday nights, we've been talking about Job, okay? And this past Wednesday, we talked about how Job was one that feared God and eschewed evil, all right? That word eschewed is only listed 4 times in our Bibles, 3 times in the book of Job, once in Peter, I believe 1 Peter. And the Bible tells us that that means to flee, to turn from, turn away from known evil. And I talked about evil and the different things of types of evil. By the way, disease and pestilence is evil. Okay? Civil unrest is evil. All right? There's a civil evil. There's a natural evil, but there's a moral evil. And he says, well, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, right? It says that. And when we do that, God will hear us. And God will respond in times of our calamity, in times of our difficulty, if you will, in times of our sin. When we take knowledge of the fact that, if you will, we're in trouble, whether it's caused by us or caused by something else, and we come to Him. See, this is where it gets kind of gritty, if you will, or where the rubber meets the road, because it depends upon our spirit as we come to God. You know, how many times have you heard this phrase recently in the last several years? A victim mentality. Okay? Are people victims in this world? Yes. And is that sad? Is that terrible? Is that awful? Yes. But how about to have a victim mentality? Is that good? No, it's not. Okay? But how many times do we come to God and with a victim mentality? You know, God, why did you just let this happen to me? Why is that the right way to come to God? No, because you're coming to Him thinking that you're owed something, right? Or that He's done something unjust. By the way, is God going to do anything unjust? No, He's not. God is just. If anybody could say, we were talking about Joseph this morning, but we also, on Wednesdays, talking about Job. Those guys have some complaints, right? But did they complain to God? No, they didn't. So you understand that we have to understand these things. So what I want to emphasize today is what God says. One of the first things He says that we need to do in order to be heard of Him, by the way, what is the point of prayer? To be heard of God, right? We talked about heard prayer a couple weeks ago, okay? But we need to understand that as we pray, we need to do what God says we need to do in prayer. And today's thought, and I just want to focus on this, I want to focus on our humility in prayer.
Being humble before God. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So God says we need to humble ourselves. So I was thinking about that and meditating on that this week and before this week. But I want you to realize, how many times do I actually humble myself before God Almighty? As I go to prayer. Think about this. Is humbling yourself an actual act? Yes, okay? So, just a question. I want to know how many of you have thought about this, because I thought about this. Out of 10 times in prayer, how many times do you actually come to God humbled? Just think about it. Do I even consider that? Do I even think about that? Because I thought about most of the times when I pray, I don't actually think about humbling myself before God. I don't give it a thought. Go ahead and raise your hands. How many of you just don't really give it a thought? Okay, a few of you. Okay, all right. But he says, if my people shall humble themselves. So he says, when you come to pray, this is what you need to do. I've thought about that, and I've thought, you know, I don't know if I actually do that. I don't know if I actually humble myself. So what does that mean? So of course you got to look it up, because how many of you think you know what the definition of words are, and you really don't? Yeah, okay. But here's what it means to be humble, to be lowly. Now, obviously, I do consider myself lower than God, okay? I don't think I'm higher than God. Submissive, I suppose that's true. All right, meek, it says, is another one. Modest, opposed to proud. Now, that's good. We shouldn't come to God proudly, right? Haughty, right? Opposed to haughty, opposed to arrogant. He says this, opposed to assuming. All right, so now, the Bible says to come boldly before the throne of grace, but boldness is not the same thing as, or it doesn't mean opposed to being humbled. You know, you can be humble and be bold. You can do both of those things. But he says it's opposed to this, and then then Webster says this, in an evangelical sense, having a low opinion of oneself, and a deep sense of unworthiness in the sight of God. So God says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. He said there's a reason for all those things. Because of my people's sin. Because they've lifted up their hearts in pride against me, and they've served other gods, and they've chosen other ways than my ways. He says they need to be humbled. And by the way, doesn't God use these things to humble us? To make us low? To bring us to a point of meekness and submission before Almighty God? By the way, God shouldn't have to do that. We should willingly do that. Because He is God and we are not. Okay? Yeah, we're not. And so it's important to understand this thing of humility in the sight of God. As we go to God in prayer, we must humble ourselves. Okay? So here we are, God's creation, right? And we have this thing of pride in us. And we need to make ourselves low in His sight. To come to Him lowly, submissive, not proud, not haughty, not arrogant, not assuming. Because does God owe us anything? No, He owes us nothing. We owe Him everything, if you will. And we need to humble ourselves. There needs to be a deep sense of unworthiness in the sight of God. Turn your Bibles just a few chapters over to chapter 34. Same book, 2 Chronicles. Look at chapter 34. We're going to look at some things about humility here before God. By the way, Solomon humbled himself before the Lord. Look at chapter 34 here. We see the reign of Josiah, 8 years old when he began to reign, tells us in verse 1, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, so until he was 39 years old. And it says in verse 2 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Okay, that's a good start, right? Good start to a reign in the kingdom there. So look at verse 26 and verses 26 and 27. It says, as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. He says, because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Now, why does God go to such great extent to explain or to illustrate or to show why he answered this prayer? Why he heard this prayer? Look at these things that he says in verse 27. He says that thou didst humble thyself before God. Well, this is amazing, right? They found the book, right? Shaphan read the book before the king. The king, what did he do when he heard this? He rent his clothes. He was deeply concerned that they had sinned against God. That they had left the things that God wanted them to do, and the wrath of God was poured out upon them. And he said, because in verse 21, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. He humbled himself before God. He rent his clothes. He wept before God. All of these things are included in humility. And I guess what I'm trying to drive home to all of us is this, is how serious are we when we pray? Or if you want to call it the severity of prayer. And do we actually have a mindset of humility? So did what the people realize they had done against God affect how they cried out to and reached out to God in prayer? It did. Remember back in our text, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. First we have to recognize that our ways are wicked before God. By the way, this thing of humility kind of stretches our understanding of prayer, because it really helps us to realize we're sinners before God. I can ask that question again. Let me ask it a different way. How many of you, as you go to prayer to God, go with the heart and the spirit that you're a sinner before God? That you're wicked before God? Because I'm telling you, this really hit me hard this week, because I don't always. A lot of times when I go to prayer, it's basically, I might kneel down and I might just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings. I'm confident in my prayer and I want to be right with God, but I don't feel like I always come to him with a lowliness and a sense of humility and a sense of I'm but a sinful being and he is a sinless being. I feel like I'm really guilty of this a lot. And I'm all for confidence. But Josiah, as soon as he heard these words, he was deeply affected. And because he was deeply affected, by the way, Solomon was deeply affected. God said that Solomon humbled himself before him. We know we have examples where David humbled himself before God. Others have humbled themselves. I have some more examples I'll read to you here. But I want you to understand that this particular one in Josiah, he says, because thine heart was tender. And I don't think our heart is always tender when we come to God. I don't think we really believe that we're wicked before God. Because you know what? Most of the time I'm doing okay. And most of the time you're doing okay, right? How many of you feel that way? You're doing okay. Yeah, I mean, we do, right? But are we? Are we really? Because you know what? The more and more I read this book, the more and more wicked and sinful I find out that I am. Really, right? But does that affect how I pray? I guess I'm confessing to you today. I don't know why, but I am. I've never rent my clothes because of what I've done against God. Anybody here ever, you've ripped your clothes because you're disgusted with how terrible you've been toward God? I don't think we've gotten to that point. But I'm just asking, why not? Why haven't we gotten to that point? Have we become so hardened, if you will, or have such a shell about the, or maybe are so frivolous about our sin against God that we don't really grasp the depth of it. And how lowly we actually are compared to Him, in light of Him. He says that Josiah humbled himself before God and he rent his clothes and he wept before God. And he said, I have even heard thee also. He says, I get it. I've heard you. He tells us in our text that if we'll humble ourselves, he'll hear us. He'll forgive our sin and he'll heal our land. I wonder today, if the dearth that we have in Christianity and in America and in amongst our churches today, maybe it's because we haven't truly grasped this thing of humility. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Have any of you claimed that title? Who thinks they're a better Christian than Paul? Anyone? Because I'm gonna shake your hand before God strikes you dead. No, just kidding. none of us are, right? Do any of us even think of that? But he said, "I'm the chief of sinners." Do you think Paul had a real good grasp of humility? Oh, I do. Remember, he said the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. So that he wouldn't raise himself up in pride. So Paul knew himself. He made a conceited effort to be humble before God. And did God hear Paul's prayers? Yes. Sometimes I believe that our prayers are probably not heard because maybe we're really not humble before the Lord. As we should be. Psalm 9 says this, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. There's that one of those words, right? Seek my face. Sing praises to the Lord
which dwelleth in Zion, declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. It doesn't say he forgetteth not the cry of the righteous. He says he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, and thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of thy daughter Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Psalm 10, David says, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. As we look on about this thing of humility, Psalm 34, a psalm of David, says when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So why would someone who's humble be glad at the boasting of the Lord? Because he's exalted and we are abased. We're made low. That's how it's supposed to be. The humble are actually those that seek God. They are the ones that care about what God thinks about them. Psalm 69, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. So here, humility and seeking God are again hand in hand. He says, if they'll humble themselves and pray, right, and seek my face. So as we think about this, if we're not truly humbled, are we really seeking his face? Because I see that they kind of go together. When Josiah heard the words of the book, he immediately thought about his sin and the people's sin as it compared to God. And that caused him to mourn. And it caused him to rend his clothes. And it caused him to feel a deep sorrow and care that he and the people had sinned against God. And he had a tender heart and he humbled himself before God. And he sought God's face. Solomon says in Proverbs 16, better it is to be in the of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Turn to Isaiah 57 with me, if you would. Isaiah 57. This is another word that's associated with humility. Isaiah 57, look at verse 14. I'm just trying to help us kind of reset our mind's eye on this thing of humility and going to the Lord in prayer. Isaiah 57, look at verse 14. It says, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Now that word contrite is not listed very many times in our scriptures, but let me just tell you this. It just means simply to be ground into powder, crushed. Okay, that's basically what contrite means. All right? Are we crushed when we go before God? Think about Josiah's attitude. His heart was tender. He rent his clothes and he was totally disturbed about how his people had treated God. Are we disturbed?
that we've sinned against God. I have to admit to you that most of the time, I'm pretty cavalier about my sin. Oh, sinned against God. Well, I'll ask God to forgive me. Now, that's a fact. I'm not making fun of anyone because I do the same thing. But shouldn't I feel a different way about it? Like, oh God, I've sinned against you. I mean, I suppose, Melissa, I probably should just tear the shirts that you want me to get rid of anyways, right? How many of you men have shirts, clothing in your closet that you've had forever and your wife wants to continually get rid of it? Yeah. You're just getting used to it. Those are your clothes, all right? So maybe should I tear those and then you can just get rid of them then that way? Would that help? No, but I guess I don't know. Maybe I'm making a big deal out of nothing here, but I've never torn any clothes because I was upset about my sin against God. Shouldn't I? Shouldn't I feel that way? I think I should. So why don't I? Maybe it's because I don't hold God as high and lofty as He is to be held. Because here's the thing. Let me help you with this. The lower that I feel that I am, what does that automatically make Him? Higher. So guess what? As I go before God and I'm not humbled, and I don't humble myself before God, I'm not holding Him as high as He should be held. Because does his status change? Does God get any higher than He is? No. His highness is ultimate. It's there, right? But what changes? How high I think I am. Right? The lower that I am, the what? The higher He is. And it's not because He's moved. It's because I've gotten lower. And that's what this thing of humility to me means. That boy, I sure think a lot of myself. I've been a Christian for almost 40 years. I'm a pastor. I've been in the ministry for almost 20 years. I think pretty high of my, I'm a pretty good Christian. But I'm not. Meek and lowly, humble of spirit. Because in the light of Jesus Christ, I'm awful. I'm awful. And I need to know that I'm awful before God. And that I have to have that kind of a spirit, that humble spirit. That's what we need. It's better to have that kind of a spirit than a proud one. Just a few more scriptures, just to think about. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You want to be great? In God's eyes, humble yourself. Humble yourself. In Matthew 23, He says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased." In other words, he'll be brought low. If you try to exalt yourself, what goes around coming, you're gonna get brought down low. You're gonna get cut down. But He says, "He that shall humble himself shall be exalted." So think about that phrase that Jesus says, "He that shall humble himself shall be exalted." And then think of this scripture as we look to this scripture here. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Right? So didn't Jesus say that? If you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. And that was in Matthew.
And then Peter tells us that we're supposed to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us. That's how humility works. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So what if do we want Jesus to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Do we want to be honored, if you will, in the sight of God? Yes, but before that is humility. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 18:12. Proverbs 22. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. So you understand that Solomon humbled himself before God and God exalted him. David humbled himself before God and God exalted him. Josiah humbled himself before God and God exalted him. These are the examples that we have in Scripture over and over again. By the way, even Jesus humbled himself before God and God exalted him. Peter humbled himself before God and God exalted him. Paul humbled himself before God and God exalted him. We see this example over and over again, yet do we really grasp and understand this concept? David said in Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. For all the things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. You know, I think that we have to understand that as we humble ourselves before God, we'll be exalted. Because we're really grasping the true nature of what prayer is. That we are meek and lowly of spirit. We are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift us up. By the way, that just makes Him greater, doesn't it? Because He's doing the exalting. He's doing the lifting, not us. So as Solomon comes to God, Solomon has a humble heart. Solomon says, "God, if we humble ourselves, if we come to You, then restore us and hear us and heal us." And God says, "I will." He says, "If My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray." Humble themselves and pray. He says, "If they'll seek My face and turn from their wicked ways." By the way, you can't turn from your wicked ways if you don't admit they're wicked. "Wicked ways, then will I hear." So just as a closing remark, how's your humility before God? Have you really, truly humbled yourself in the sight of God? And I want you to think about this as much as I have. Every time you pray, every time you go to Him, is that the attitude of your being, the attitude of your heart, the attitude of your spirit, the attitude of your mind, that I'm lowly and He's the greatest?